You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry Dim and Panama Broadcasting Corporation Production.
The Breakfast Show. Better than coffee.
Yes, indeed. Very good morning, boys and girls. And what do we say today? We say WTW, don't we? I was just trying to work out what day it was. It is Wednesday. So WTW, it is the 9th of August, The Breakfast Show with me, Jerry D. We're on 89.3 Cool FM. Just about a minute after the hour of 7 o'clock, I shall be sitting here entertaining you, all being well, right through till 10 this morning. Let's take a look. Birthdays for today, 9th of August. I've got one here we can start off with. Thomas Telford was his name. He was born in the year 1757. Now, he was a Scottish civil engineer, architect and a stonemason, and a noted road, bridge and canal builder. His most famous probably being the Menai Suspension Bridge. So there you are. That's a fairly short one for this morning. Got more coming up during the programme.
Good morning, world.
Good morning.
Good morning in the morning.
Good morning.
Buenos días en la mañana.
That mission would start in 5 seconds from now. Five, 4, 3, 2, 1, hit.
The best place to be in the mornings.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
Yeah.
And there we go. Yes, Michael Jackson and Another Part of Me. That was released back, July of 1988 when that came out. Produced by Quincy Jones, that one, and co-produced by Michael Jackson. Sixth single off of his album called Bad. Well, the track is called Alone and comes off of one of my most favourite albums from the Bee Gees, Still Waters. Breakfast show time. We're just making our way to 11 minutes right now after the 7 o'clock here on 89.3. Busy little morning this morning. We've got Andreas coming in the 8 o'clock hour this morning talking about a show called Hijack. I guess that might be on one of the streaming platforms. And also we have a guest in the last hour this morning, author extraordinaire. We're going to be talking with Linda Faye Schmidt today. Coming in, talking to us about her writings and experiences. That's in the last hour of this morning's programme. That's fun, isn't it? Of course it is. Sammy Hagar. Your love is driving me crazy. Yes, as I said, Sammy Hagar, and your love is driving me crazy. Time on the Breakfast Show, we're just a few seconds, about 30 seconds away from shower time on this morning's programme, so we're not going to waste any time. We'll get you cleaned up. There we go. And let me see. Oh, I tell you what, in the shower this morning, if you're just waking up, right, if you just have sleepy eyes have just opened up, well, yep. Come on. Oh, And there we go, yes, 19 minutes past 7 o'clock, and your time to get out of the shower. There we go. Hope you can have an absolutely wonderful Wednesday. Yes, don't forget what we say today. Welcome to Wednesday. If you have just joined us, WTW, where have you been? We're making our way 19 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock here on this morning's breakfast show. Now, we will be doing, in the last hour of this morning's program, we will be doing our giveaways that we're doing for this week. We've got a great bag of goodies commemorating the coronation of King Charles III, and in the goodies, well, the bag itself, you can use to take away and do your shopping. You look a bit posh with King Charles's, can't really call it a logo, can you? Emblem on the bag. And also in there, there's a commemorative mug, there is a keychain, a fridge magnet, and a bookmark in there as well. We've had two winners so far, each day this week. Today we're going to be doing, in the last hour of this morning's program, probably just before we chat to our guest in the last hour. And all the questions are all about Great Britain, and all you've got to do is call Yasmin, but we'll give you more details about that a little bit later on. Again, big thanks to Paul Dixon and Maria Dixon over there in South London in the UK, who kindly sent those in for us to give to you lot. Yes, our motley lot out there listening. Right, we've got a couple of good mornings to get through. I tell you what, we'll get one out the way now. Well, not out the way, that's not the way we put it, is it? But we'll take a look right now. It comes from Renee over there in Athens in Greece. And today, I like this. Normally she's got so much to tell us. Good morning, happy hump day. And nothing much to report today. Nothing exciting. But a massive pile of Rick's work shirts and slacks to iron. Don't think I could send a few over, do you? Where's your maid? Oh, dear, after living in Panama, I thought you'd been used to that. You asked if we could play this one for you this morning, Renee. Of course we can. It's Supertramp, and it's called, yes, it's called Give a Little Bit.
So much that we need to share, so send a smile and show you care. I'll give a little bit. The night.
There we go. Supertramp. And that was Give a Little Bit. Renee just came back to me and she said about the ironing and that. She said, well, it's just the two of us. So it's way more manageable to take care of the house. I think it's quite funny because my mother, God bless, when she lived here, she used to have a maid come in a couple of times a week. But my mother was one of these people. It was so funny because she would have to clean the house because she didn't want the maid to see it messy. Sort of defeats the object of it, doesn't it? Here's the Dancing Queen, but this time this comes from Steps.
Friday night and the lights are low.
Yes, not a bad version, really, is it? That is Steps and Dancing Queen. I was saying just now that how my mother was sort of, this was her, the way she was, God bless, but she used to clean the house before the maid came because she didn't want to see it dirty. And Renee just said, that's like fixing your hair before you go to the hairdressers. Yeah, but just think how much money you save.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
¿Amas la historia y la cultura? Únete al Museo del Canal y sé parte de un legado que ha trascendido generaciones. Adquiriendo tu membresía al Museo del Canal, haces posible que más niños y jóvenes de diversas comunidades y escuelas de todo el país redescubran su historia. Conviértete en un miembro y sumérgete en la fascinante historia que rodea la construcción del canal. Para más información, museodelcanal.com o al WhatsApp 6576-9335 o visita el Museo del Canal ubicado en Casco Antiguo frente a la Plaza Catedral. Museo del Canal, donde la historia cobra vida.
Is your car in need of a quickie? Car Service Express. Absolutely. They will do any of these for you. 30-point inspection for your car. oil and oil filter change, change the air filter, change the cabin filter, change any kind of other fluid as well, like coolant, brake, transmission and power steering. And they'll balance and rotate your tyres. And if you've got one that doesn't rotate because it's flat at the bottom, they'll fix that too. Car Service Express, 648-14281. Give them a call, 648-14281.
In Albrook Car Service Express.
It's Morning Radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
Absolutely. We're 29 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock, and we're going to take a look at some of the international news, a little bit of the business news as well. I'm a bit croaky this morning, so you might have to put up with me. Well, you put up with me anyway, I know. 41 migrants died in a shipwreck last week in the central Mediterranean, the ANSA news agency reported on Wednesday, citing accounts from survivors who have just reached the Italian island of Lampedusa. It says here that ANSA said four people who survived the shipwreck told rescuers that they were on a boat carrying 45 people, including three children. The boat set off on Thursday morning from Tunisia's Sfax, a hotspot for the migration crisis, but it capsized and sank after a few hours, the survivors were quoted as saying. Ohio voters on Tuesday rejected a Republican-backed measure that would have made it harder to amend the state constitution. This was an initiative aimed at helping defeat a November referendum that would protect abortion access in the state. The results of the special election were a crucial victory for abortion rights advocates, who would have faced the daunting prospect of securing a supermajority of voters this fall in the measure, if this measure had passed. The proposal, known as Issue 1, would have lifted the threshold for passing future changes to the state constitution to 60% of voters, coming up from 50%, as well as imposing more stringent standards for getting such measures on the ballot in the first place. So much for democracy. You've got to get 60 votes, can't have half and half. The White House on Wednesday will detail its plans to prohibit some U.S. investments in sensitive technology in China and require that the government be notified of other investments, a senior government source has told Reuters. The plans are aimed at preventing U.S. capital and expertise from helping develop technologies that could support China's military modernization and threatens U.S. national security. Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. on Wednesday denied making an agreement with China to move a grounded warship that serves as a military outpost in the South China Sea, and said that if there was ever such a deal, it should be considered rescinded. The Philippines maintains a handful of troops aboard the World War II-era Sierra Madre at the Sound the Second Thomas Shoal, known by Manila as Ayungin, the Ayungin Shoal, which is located inside its 200-mile exclusive economic zone. A former rebel leader and politician in Niger has launched a movement opposing the junta that took power on the 22nd of July in a coup, a first sign of internal resistance to army rule in the strategically important Sahel country. Risa Agbula said in a statement seen on Wednesday that his Council of Resistance for the Republic aimed to reinstate ousted President Mohamed Bazoum, who has been in detention in his residence since the takeover. Flights were cancelled and trains halted on Wednesday as heavy rain from Typhoon Kuanun pounded southern regions of Japan and South Korea, just as another storm approached from the east to threaten Tokyo ahead of Japan's peak summer holiday season. Kuanun could make landfall at the southeastern South Korean port city of Tongyeong on Thursday. This is before tracking up the Korean Peninsula, said authorities. China's consumer sector fell into deflation and factory gate prices extended declines in July as the world's second largest economy struggled to revive demand and pressure mounted on Beijing to release more direct policy stimulus. Anxiety is rising that China is entering an era of much slower economic growth, akin to the period of Japan's lost decades, which saw consumer prices and wages stagnate for a generation, a stark contrast to the rapid inflation seen elsewhere. Italy's government has capped now the impact of a surprise windfall tax imposed on profits generated by the country's banks, prompting a recovery in financial stocks on Wednesday. This was after a rout in the previous session. Now, the economy ministry clarified late on Tuesday that its 40% windfall tax, a one-off measure which targets profits banks have made on higher interest rates, would not amount to more than 0.1% of their total assets. And European banking shares rebounded on Wednesday following a sharp fall the day before. This was after the Italian government softened its stance on a tax targeting the profits of its lenders. By 718 GMT, Europe's Stoxx 600 banking index was up 1.1% after a 2.7% fall the day before. Italy's Finco was up 3.7%, UniCredit was up 2.3%, and Intesa San Paolo was up 1.9%. Oil hit new peaks on Wednesday, with Brent crude touching the highest since April as tighter supply owing to Saudi and Russian output cuts offset concerns over slow demand from China and a report showing rising U.S. inventories. Brent crude was 54 cents or 0.6% higher, and that was at $86.71 by 11:10 GMT today, having touched $87.09, the highest since April the 13th. U.S. West Texas Intermediate WTI crude, well, that gained 51 cents or 0.6%, let's get it right, it's important, to $83.43 per barrel, $83.43. The U.S. benchmark touched $83.91, the highest since November of 2022. There we go. There's a look. Those are some of the things in the international news, a little bit of international business there as well, here on The Breakfast Show. Time-wise, exactly 22 minutes before 8 o'clock. there we go. Yes, that's Steve Winwood and Valerie. Keep an eye on the time, 18 minutes right now before the hour of 8 o'clock. Don't forget, in the last hour of this morning's program, we've got a guest coming in. We've got Linda Faye Schmidt coming in, author, to tell us all about her experiences and her book writing and some of the books that she has produced. And we're going to be doing that giveaway. Don't forget, we're going to be giving away a bag of goodies commemorating the coronation of King Charles III. Let's say a very good morning to Ed. Ed Versailles, good morning to you, Ed. He drops a line early this morning. He's on the ball. And you see, he said, this morning he says, good morning today. Hang on, I've got to get it in today. Oh, it says the message has been deleted. Is that on my other phone as well? I know what you said, Ed, so I can remember what you said, because you wanted to hear a particular piece of music. Was it anyway? I don't care if you delete it, I'm going to play it anyway. Ed said this morning, wish everybody a very good morning. And he asked if I could play, and if I remember right, he said, from the one and only. I couldn't agree with him more. And that's Nina Simone. And I was thinking to myself, so I met him the other day, and he's a young man. Well, everybody's young compared to me, but he's very young then. And you've obviously got, I would say, Ed, you've got old shoulder. You've got old shoulders there, because the music is really quite, is quite there, isn't it? It's Nina Simone. Let me get on. Nina Simone, and you asked if we could play Feeling Good.
Birds fly, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah, it's a new life for me. Ooh, 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 feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me. When you shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. Oh, freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me.
What a great track. Nina Simone there, and Feeling Good. Ed's just come back, and he said, sorry, he said, I deleted the message by mistake. He said, actually, turned 23 in March. That's what I mean. You're a kid. Look, I tell you how old I am. Everybody's a kid compared to me. But it says, and Ed goes on to say, my dad's a Vietnam veteran, almost 80 years of age. And he says, so growing up, I'd listen to Etta James, Ray Charles, Sammy Davis Jr., Louis Armstrong, and all the great performers from the last century. Well, I tell you what, don't know what your dad's name is, but he certainly gave you a good education. Congratulations, Dad. Yeah, classic music. Music is music. It's timeless. It doesn't matter whether it's today's music or yesterday's music. You like it or you don't. It's like wine. You can pay $1,000 for a bottle of wine, and to you it might taste like... never mind. And you can go out and buy, like I do sometimes, a bottle of wine for, you know, $4 or $5, and you really enjoy it. So it's all a question of taste. But that's great. Great music from those days. And I was fortunate enough, of course, to be around when they were around as well. Right, and I tell you what, Nina Simone, did you know originally she wanted to be a concert pianist? And of course then she got and sing. She's got an amazing voice, but like so many, she had a pretty tough life. She had a very hard life, but she made some great music. Talking of female artists that had a hard life, or did have a hard life.
All I can ever be to you is the darkness that we know, and this regret I got accustomed to. Once was the ride when we were at our height, waiting for you in the hotel at night. I knew I had him at my match, but every moment we could snatch. I don't know why I got so attached. It's my responsibility. You don't own nothing to me but to walk away. I have no capacity. He walks away, the sun goes down, he takes the day. Never had it all, we had to hit a wall. So this is never to fall withdrawn. Even if I stop wanting you, that perspective pushes true. I'll be some next man's other woman. So I can't play myself again. Should just be my own best friend. I fuck myself in the head with Superman. He walks away, the sun goes. Good thing, no regrets, and no most of no day. Cause as we kiss goodbye, the sun sets. So we are history, the shadow covers me, the sky above the blaze, only lovers see. He walks away, the sun goes down, he takes the day, but I'm grown, and in your way, my blue shade, my tears dry.
Another one sadly missed. That's Amy Winehouse, of course, and Tears Dry on Their Own. 8.5 minutes before 8 o'clock. Paul over there in South London, United Kingdom. Good morning, Paul. He sent us a great little article in the BBC, in the BBC News. It's all about a Texas woman who was attacked by a hawk and a snake at the same time. This was after the bird, which eats snakes, accidentally dropped the wriggling serpent onto her. Well, Peggy Jones, 64 years of age, was mowing her lawn last month when a passing hawk dropped the snake on her before swooping down to angrily try and reclaim its meal. Well, the snake wrapped itself around her arm and began striking at her face as the bird sunk its talons into her flesh. It says the terrifying ordeal, it said, left her with cuts and bruising to her arm and her face. The bizarre incident took place back on the 25th of July in a town called Silsby in Texas near the Louisiana border. It began after a snake suddenly fell out of the sky and landed on her, as they do. Before she could remove it, the hawk attack began. As I was trying to sling my arm and sling the snake off, the snake wrapped around my arm, she told CBS News, the BBC's partner over there in the US. The snake was striking at my face. It struck my glasses a couple of times, and I was slinging and slinging, and he was striking and striking. He just kept hanging on. She realized it must have been dropped by a passing bird since she was not standing under trees when it happened. Her assumption was quickly confirmed when the hawk swooped down and joined in the melee. Now, then the hawk appeared just as fast as the snake appeared, said Mrs. Jones. The hawk grabbed the snake that was wrapped around my arm and pulled it like it was going to carry it away. And when he did, it flung my arm up. The hawk was carrying my arm and the snake with it. The hawk struggled to remove the snake from Mrs. Jones' body, stabbing her with its talons repeatedly as it attempted to snatch back its food. Eventually, the snake was pulled from her arm, leaving her startled husband to drive her to the hospital. Well, if he was there, he was probably just sitting back and watching it, sounds like, at any rate. There were puncture wounds, cuts, abrasions, scratches, and severe bruising, she said, adding that the snake's attacks to her face damaged her glasses. Lucky you were wearing glasses, it could have been your eyes. Mrs. Jones described the attack as severely traumatic, adding that she thought she was going to die and has had trouble sleeping since it happened. She told CBS that living in rural Texas, she's no stranger to wildlife encounters. I've actually seen hawks pick up a snake. That's something they do. That's how they kill their prey, she said. But now, she says, something is something that I will always keep in my mind. Yes, firstly, beware of falling snakes, all right?
Said you want to walk me home from school. Well, I said, yes, I do. She said, I don't have to go right home, and I would kind of like to be alone. Son, you would. I said, me too. And so we took a stroll, wound up down by the swimming hole, and she said, do what you want to do. Got silly and found a frog in the water by a hollow log, and I shook it at her, and I said, this frog's for you. She said,
I don't like spiders and snakes, and that ain't what it takes to love me. Like I wanna be loved by you.
Well, I think of that girl from time to time. I call her up when I got a dime. I say, hello, baby. She said, ain't you cool? I said, do you remember when, and would you like to get together? Said, I'll see you after school. I was shy so for a while. Most of my love was touching smiles. And she said, come on over here. I was nervous as you might guess. Still looking for something to slip down her dress. And she said, let's make it perfectly clear. She said, I wanna be loved by you.
we go. Somebody else who doesn't like snakes, or spiders for that matter. That's Jim Stafford on this morning's breakfast show. I think we can squeeze one more in before we get to the top of the hour.
Whoa, whoa, yeah, yeah. Love you more than I can say. I'll love you twice as much tomorrow. Whoa, whoa, love you more than I can say. Whoa, oh, yeah, yeah. I miss you every single day. Why must my life be filled with sorrow? Whoa, whoa, love you more than I can say. Don't you know I need you so? Tell me, please, I gotta know. Do you mean to make me cry? Am I just another guy? Whoa, oh, yeah, yeah. Love you more than I can say. I'll love you twice as much tomorrow. Whoa, whoa, love you more than I can say. Don't you know I need you so? Tell me, please, I gotta know. Do you mean to make me cry? Am I just another guy? Whoa, whoa, yeah, yeah. I love you more than I can say. I'll love you twice as much tomorrow. Whoa, whoa, love you more than I can say.
And that's what it's called. Love You More Than I Can Say from Bobby Darin. Time on the breakfast show to do this.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. The best place to be in the mornings.
¿Amas la historia y la cultura? Únete al Museo del Canal y sé parte de un legado que ha trascendido generaciones. Adquiriendo tu membresía al Museo del Canal, haces posible que más niños y jóvenes de diversas comunidades y escuelas de todo el país redescubran su historia. Conviértete en un miembro y sumérgete en la fascinante historia que rodea la construcción del canal. Para más información, museodelcanal.com o al WhatsApp 6576-9335 o visita el Museo del Canal ubicado en Casco Antiguo frente a la Plaza Catedral. Museo del Canal, donde la historia cobra vida.
Have you ever taken your car for maintenance and been told to come back within less than 5,000 kilometers or 3 months? The secret is in using good quality oil and an original filter. At Burley Motors, we guarantee high quality oil and a thorough inspection during every maintenance check, better than you would get at the dealership. This means a longer lifespan for your car, and you won't have to spend money every 3 months. You can go up to 6,000 kilometers with semi-synthetic oil and up to 10,000 kilometers with full synthetic oil. Give us a call or WhatsApp us on 64310419. Got that? 64310419. Valet Motors. We'll keep you running.
Valet Motors.
We have the best music from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and beyond. Join us for the latest news and great interviews. The best place to be in the mornings. The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. Cool FM 89.3.
Jerry D.
Above the sky, I feel no fear to be here. It's oh so. tribe one day will come the might to move any mountain.
Good morning, Jerry. Hey, Yaz, how you doing? Well, I'm outside in the backyard and the water is flowing. Yeah, my parents got an automatic sprinkler out here and it smells like sulfur water. I understand that comes from the well. That's why they can afford to do it once a week, because that water is not really city water. That is well water, and boy, it smells like some rotten eggs. Yeah, anybody who's ever been to Florida knows what that water smells like. Some big old rotten eggs splashing around. Ah, oh, it's a beautiful morning. Dropped my sister off at the wrong airport yesterday. Yeah. She's supposed to fly out of Fort Myers, and she told me to take her to Sarasota. So we had a big laugh and came back and figured out we're going to take her to Tampa. So last night, about 9 o'clock, I got her out to the Tampa airport, and she is now happily, safely sound in Ohio. But what an experience to have to run around like that. It was kind of funny at first, and then it just was funny all day, actually, because there's nothing you could do about it. We had one of those moments. We got everything all situated, so I am now flying solo here at the house. I will be taking care of Mom and Dad's dinner every night, making sure the garbage goes out, making sure anything that needs to get done gets done, things like that. You know, being a dutiful daughter, a DD. I'm going to be a DD for a while. And then next week, I will go and pick up my sister, and I will fly back home, yay, to Panama, yay. All right, so yesterday was an interesting day. The day before, on Sunday, we did a lot of clipping of the hedges and things like that, got things all trimmed up. Today, I got to power wash the backyard, the patio area, so that's going to be fun. Yay, take my mom to get her permanent done. You know, just household normal, everyday things you do in Florida. Not quite the same. But it's okay. I have some of my coffee with me. I can't live without my Palo Alto. I don't know if I could travel. You know, like most people travel with pilas. Well, this little Panamanian, she travels with her coffee. All right, you guys have a wonderful humpity hump 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 Wednesday, and back to you in the studio.
Yeah.
we go. Yes, now, never miss the water till it's gone. Just called Never Miss the Water, but so true. All these things, isn't it? Take everything for granted until there isn't any. It's like things that, like when they do the gas in the buildings, you know, so you take it for granted until you find you don't have it. And you've got to take cold showers for a couple of months. Right, talking of chilling things down. Hello? Oh, sorry, what are you...
Good morning.
What were you doing?
I didn't get a signal from you, like, you're on. I thought you were commenting
signal
on...
No, signal is you're on is two fingers.
Got it.
Right.
Is it that?
No.
Okay.
The other one.
Got it.
Andreas Talenti with us.
Good
this
morning,
sir. It's nice to have you back.
I know, it's fun. I love being here on Wednesdays. It's I know it's your favorite day. I know it's my favorite day. It's everybody's favorite day. No?
No, not really.
Your
no.
face says it's not. No. Your heart says it is.
No, but I got a guest today.
You do? Me?
I do. No, a guest.
What do you mean?
Somebody that's welcome.
How dare you?
We got Linda Faye Schmidt coming in to join us.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
She's
an author. She's a book writer. She's a book writer.
Like me. I wrote books. I have never written a book. That's
me, me neither.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I must admit, I think, for instance, you know, the lady J.K. Rowling who did...
Who's that? I'm kidding.
I don't think so.
Of course I know she
Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Now, you know, all the different characters in Harry Potter, and they all have to have a life that you... They all have to be...
Backstory.
Created.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, how do you start something like that?
The thing about J.K. Rowling is I really feel bad for the ex-husband. That's all I'm going to say.
Missed that one, didn't we?
Oh, man. He missed a little bit of a boat.
You thought all she could do was write a grocery list.
Oh, man. That,
yes, I know.
That guy is... They should do a movie about him.
They should, yeah, well, yeah. If they do a movie about her, they can sort of drag him into it, I guess.
I guess so.
A five-second slot.
You got to put a little caption at the end where he's at right now.
No, I mean, it does astound me. The amount of thought that goes into actually having to do something like that. You've got to have a typical, sort of specific type of mental attitude.
My question with all those things are, do you have to completely focus on it, or can you do other things while you write that? That is something I've always asked myself about the creative process. Because, as you know, I like to try to be creative once in a while, doing plays and doing stuff.
Right.
But I've never fully committed to it because
right.
I have responsibilities.
Because you go to earn money.
I have a family.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
So I wonder, I think
the thing is that you do it while you're doing something else.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what you do with your time.
I'm here.
But no, you know, you have a job or whatever. And I mean, she was at a stage where she had... And she used to go to this little cafe in Bristol. I think it was Bristol where she lived, in that kind of area. She used to go to a little cafe, and that's where she would sit and have coffee and start...
And write a book.
And, you know...
Would she consume at the store? Use their free Wi-Fi?
To be quite honest, right now I don't think the store really cares because...
Super
fair. Probably doing kind of, you know, the blue plaque on the table.
I was going to ask. They use it as a marketing ploy.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. So would I.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have...
Well, you can use this. You can use my guest spots on this show as your marketing ploy.
How many listeners do you think we want to lose? Anyway, let's go because the message I got initially this morning was you were going to talk about Hijack, and I didn't have a clue whether it was a movie... Or whether it was a...
It's a TV show.
I didn't know that.
I know, I'm sorry.
How would I be...
In my defense, I put 7 episodes right there on the caption. That should give you a hint.
I didn't read that.
No, yeah, I guess I know that now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
My apologies.
No worries.
You don't get that very often.
I do. Honestly, I don't.
So
Hijack. This is a show that came out from nowhere. I had no idea about it, but I was listening to a podcast last week, and they spoke about it, and I was like, interesting, because I'm always looking to some stuff to watch with my wife. Like, oh, we want to watch a show together. I don't want to watch every show with her because
no, don't go there.
It becomes the thing is. watching a show with my wife, it becomes an eternal watch because she falls asleep every time, and I gotta stop it so we can. So I don't want to go beyond where she fell asleep. And so watching an episode lasts three nights. It becomes an eternal watch, and so not every show, uh-huh. but once in a while I want to uh-huh. watch a show with her. And to be honest, this one we banged out in 2 days. Like mm-hmm. in 2 days we mm-hmm. were. It's seven episodes. It's about 45 minutes per episode,
mm-hmm.
and it's thrilling. It's a thrilling show, and. A show I didn't expect. That's the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm.
As I've said many times on the show, I want to be surprised. Nowadays, I want to be surprised. And this show caught me by surprise. So I was
excited. You want a surprise?
I was surprised.
No, do you want a surprise?
Yeah.
This is your last show.
Is it? Oh, man. Good times. Are we having a party?
No, the thing is, this is very highly rated. Where can I watch it?
Apple TV Plus.
Right, okay. So those three of you.
No, three of you. Apple TV. Remember, Apple TV Plus started giving away subscriptions every time you bought an Apple product. The thing is, you are an Apple hater. You really don't want. Is Mac
don't.
Are they sponsors of the show?
I'm not an Apple hater. I just think they're taking everybody for a ride.
So that's a synonym of hater?
I really do. I mean, look how many billions they make, and they've still got a product which is, you know, pretty old.
Hey, as a part owner of Apple, I think you're mistaken.
Yeah, well, you're biased.
Yeah,
probably. Shall I read the plot?
Read the plot,
Jim. Or do you want to mention who's in it?
Well, yeah, first of all, we got to mention it's the British badass Idris Elba.
He's good.
He's in everything.
He's very good.
He's the...
He won't be James Bond, apparently.
No, he's too old now. I think he's in his 50s. You're too old to be James Bond at that point, I'm assuming.
How old is the
other
guy?
I think they want to go younger so they can extend the life of that James Bond.
But then James Bond is dead.
No, they're not going to.
Listen to him, he's dead. They killed him.
When?
In the last episode.
Well, but that... They're going to reboot that.
But
they're never going to...
They can't reboot it. He was dead.
No, the...
He's dead.
Daniel Craig's Bond.
Like that parrot.
Daniel Craig's Bond was dead.
Everybody, well, they didn't kill the others.
They're bringing back. They're going to bring back Bond, and they want it younger, and they're not going to do it Idris Elba. But anyways, Idris Elba... quietly becoming a super like action star. He has a nice little like range of shows. He has Luther in the BBC, which is a very popular show.
Yeah.
I've never seen it, but I've heard it's a very popular show.
A lot of people that don't get Apple as well. You don't get BBC.
Right? By the way, yeah, I was gonna say. Do you think a lot of people have BBC here in Panama?
Yeah, I do.
You do.
I play.
Yeah. I know, but not a lot of people. I'm sure more people have Apple TV Plus than iPlayer.
I'm sure they do.
Okay.
I'm sure they do.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Are you just trying to get to the core of the situation?
No.
Okay.
Anyways.
Giving me the pip.
The pip?
Apple.
Got it.
Core, pip, never mind. It's English humor. No wonder you don't watch BBC.
I know I don't. Idris Elba, you can ask.
Okay. Here's the plot.
Give us the plot, Jerry.
7 episodes.
That's not the plot, Jerry. That's I'm saying there's 7 episodes on the show.
That's not the plot.
That's not the plot.
I thought it was a bit short.
It is a bit short.
A plane from Dubai to London is hijacked over a 7-hour flight, while authorities on the ground scramble for answers. Well, they got... don't tell me. Each episode is one hour on the flight.
No, it's not in real time.
No?
No, it's not 24.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you disappointed?
Michael.
A little bit. But yeah, it was interesting to me for the show because everybody remembers 9/11 obviously, and it's when is it the correct time to bring a show like this? Like I asked myself that when I started watching it, and I was like, well, no, we know 21 years is
oh, gosh,
22
yeah.
years is
yeah, it's incredible, is
good
isn't
enough.
It?
But
you must have been young then.
I was in my senior year of high school.
Mm.
No, lies.
Oh, you went to school?
Junior year, yeah. Mm,
nice.
Huh?
Mm, okay.
I went to high school. I didn't say I graduated.
Let me.
You know?
So anyway, what do you think?
Listen, let's start with the positives right away. Okay? I wrote some. I didn't want to keep you in suspense. But I got to look it on my phone when I wrote my notes.
Uh-huh.
So positives, first of all. It's not about the characters' past lives. It's about the characters reacting to the extreme circumstances. Is that my time to go?
What is it?
It's not me. It's your clock thing, no? It's your watch.
Oh no, it's somebody calling me on.
No, on WhatsApp.
On WhatsApp.
Oh, there you
we
go.
We don't take.
If he really wants to call you, dude.
Go away! Stop calling. Right.
I wonder if she's gonna call back. The whole entire thing is gonna be amazing.
Well, she won't get through now.
Okay. Anyways, everybody remembers the typical flight show. Did you ever see Lost? Is that a show you watched ever?
Hmm.
Did you ever watch Lost?
Yeah. Well, I did. No. But then I sort of lost interest in it.
Super.
I did actually. Funny enough, with Lost, I actually did write to AXN.
You did?
Yeah, because I was sick to death. They were running it every single day.
And the same
on
episode?
And on and on and on. I wrote to them and said, have you got anything else?
You did, right?
I said, because if you're just going to play this, I'll go somewhere else to watch.
Did you ever get a response
to that? Yes, I did. They said, enjoy wherever it is you're going. That was their attitude.
What was it?
Enjoy wherever it is you're going to watch.
Really?
Yeah, that was their attitude.
Oh, man, nice PR.
But, I mean, I was just sick to death of it. It was on all the time. And then, when it came to a Sunday or whatever, it would be on all day because they were doing a
marathon.
You know?
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, Lost, as everybody remembers, was about, like, it was about a plane crash, but they delved into every character's, like, past life and how mm-hmm. they ended up mm-hmm. in the plane and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the show. This show is, like, we are on the plane. Get ready. These people have, obviously, different personalities and different character traits, but they're on the plane, and let's see how they react to these extreme circumstances. I love that. I didn't want to know about passenger 8B's mm-hmm. past mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. their drug addiction. I didn't care. I wanted to know
how
what...
How did you know that?
What?
That they were drug addicts.
Well, they might say they have a drug addiction
oh, okay.
in the show, but they are how that person with that character trait would react to these extreme circumstances. I enjoyed that. That was fun. That
mm-hmm.
was different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing on, Idris Elba has the capacity or the capability of being a badass, but also appear incredibly smart. That is an actor quality you don't get from every actor. That that gravitas, and you're like, this guy is going to kick some ass, but this guy is super smart. And that's, I'm assuming, that's why he was always a fan favorite to be James Bond, because mm-hmm. he has those things. He can be suave. He can be a action star kind of guy, and he appears smart. So there you go, Idris Elba still kicking ass. Fascinating why tension throughout the show. You're always throughout the entire show. You're always wondering why are these people hijacking this plane throughout the entire show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they keep you on the edge of your seat. You're continuously asking yourself why. Obviously, in a plane, because they're going from Dubai, they're crossing different borders and different airspaces. And every time they cross a airspace, that government is like, why is this plane not responding mm-hmm. while they're in my airspace?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to attack my city? And they would completely freak out about it. It was just interesting. Thought I never knew that would happen. Like, a plane is coming through Panama, they're not responding. How does the air traffic control and the government react to that?
I know the first thing you do is you send up a couple of fighter aircraft.
Well, they exactly do that
there
a couple
go,
of times.
See?
Yeah. The right amount of twist. You want some twist.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For example,
yeah.
Are there any other passengers that are secretly not appearing bad, but they're baddies as well?
Mm-hmm.
Are
mm-hmm.
there bad guys that are secretly good? Like, those little twists happen throughout the show. They're fun. They're unexpected. Good stuff for them. Archie Panjabi back as a detective. People don't remember Archie Panjabi, but she was one of the main characters in a show called The Good Wife.
Mm-hmm.
Very good show.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a badass investigator for the law firm on that show. Fan favorite. She quit before that show ended, and we were like, oh, man, we're going to miss her. And now she's back. She's a cop. She's as awesome as she was on that show. Gripping cliffhangers between episodes. They got to keep you hooked.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a movie that it can keep you at the end of the movie, oh, get ready for the sequel. No, they do that every episode. And because that show ran maybe started a month ago, I was able to watch the entire 7 episodes on one sit, and that was fun for me. I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those are my positives, my friend.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't have any negatives, so we'll take a piece of music.
Yeah.
And this is Tina Turner. There she goes. Here's Tina Turner, and We Don't Need Another Hero. And the time on the road, if you are keeping on the time, 14 and a half minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock. Mr. News at 8, we got it for you again at 9. Guest in the last hour this morning, we got Linda Faye Schmidt coming in to talk to us, author, so look forward to that. But as for now...
The good times.
Oh, let the good times roll.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So no negatives then?
No, let's give a couple of negatives.
I don't have any.
I know you don't, but I'm going to give them to you
anyways.
Okay,
all right.
First of all...
They didn't run out of fuel.
I'm not gonna spoil the show.
Okay.
But...
I don't mind because I won't see it. So.
You know when you should see it. You should put it on your watch list. But anyways, there is... When the show... The last episode... You know when these shows are like... They don't know when to end it? And mm-hmm. they like... Mm-hmm. Oh... It's like a horror movie where the slasher guy never dies.
Mm-hmm.
It's that kind of thing
mm-hmm.
where like that scene was completely unnecessary. It was over.
Mm-hmm.
The good guys already won or they lost. Keep it that way. You don't have to keep rehashing the thing and make Idris Elba look cooler. He already looks cool for 7 episodes, 7 hours. We're good.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little bit of a. I even turned to my wife and said that scene was a waste of 7 minutes. Because that last scene was a little bit too much. There's always also some inconsistencies about... at the beginning, some of the villains are ruthless. They kill without asking any questions. But when a main character does something worthy of getting killed, never pulled the trigger. That's always an issue with
them. You know why, eh?
Yeah.
Well, we'll be finished then if they killed him.
Well, not Idris Elba, but like a member of his family.
The same thing, isn't it?
No, it's not. They could have killed him. Created.
Yeah, but then he just would have got angry.
Yeah, well, yeah, he should have.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's one of those things. They're assassins that were there in that house to kill his family members. And when they found his son, they take their time. Why? Makes very little point of that. Those little things are typical of writers when they're writing a show. Obviously, they, as you say, they want to keep characters alive and stuff, but it's like, oh, come on. I have to say, though, another thing. The baddies, though, it's your kind of baddies. They're smart as hell. They get away with it. They're always one step ahead of the police. I know you love those things, mm-hmm. So you're going to like that.
I'm enjoying it. I'm watching the last series of Jack Ryan.
No, how is that?
I'm enjoying it. I mean, they've been very good. Too. They've been very good. And I'd seen the others then. I hadn't seen three.
On the fourth one?
Oh, yeah. I hadn't seen three, so I watched three, mm-hmm. And now I'm watching four, just about. I've just got one more episode to watch.
There you go. How is it? Is it? Because I remember the first one I really enjoyed, and the second one, which was like in Venezuela. They went to Venezuela and
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't enjoy that much, maybe because of the connection to my country. I mm-hmm. didn't enjoy the exaggerations. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen three.
Three and four are good.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll check them out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Krasinski fan, so
mm-hmm.
I gotta give them a chance. But yeah, and by the way, Renee...
And they're not making another one.
No, I think that was the last one. Yeah. And Renee's talked about Only Murders in the Building, which just came back for season three.
Okay.
Do you know the cast of that show?
I don't even heard of it until now.
Steve Martin, Martin Short,
uh-huh.
Mel Streep,
okay.
Paul Rudd.
And Mel Streep makes a pretty good baddie.
Yeah, she does, but I don't know if she's a baddie in this one.
No.
I haven't seen
that. No, but I mean, she makes a pretty...
She just came in for season three,
mm-hmm.
and it just started, so I haven't seen any. I'm excited to watch it, though.
One of my favorite baddies was, I can't remember his name, but in Night Manager.
Was that Meryl Streep?
No.
That was Hugh Laurie.
That was Hugh Laurie, yeah. That's right, yeah. He was a good baddie.
He's a great baddie. He's a great baddie. He's one of those guys that, again, he doesn't seem, like, physically menacing,
no.
But he's so smart.
Mm. And you can just tell by his voice and his...
Yeah, and his demeanor is just... Mm. He has crazy eyes.
Yeah, he's amazing. Anyway, more negatives.
Let's go, man. More negatives on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to say this without spoiling anything. I'm not
watching it. It doesn't matter.
What about the listeners are? Renee said he's going to put it on his watch list. You don't want to ruin it for Renee.
She just has an Apple TV.
He's in Greece or something. She's in Greece.
She's in Greece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't. They need a watch list.
Probably got subtitles.
No.
So, well, come on.
Yeah, okay.
I wanted all the negatives.
All the negatives.
Have we done one so far?
Two.
Have we? Oh, it was two, was it?
Two negatives.
It felt like one.
Two negatives. One thing. Nobody ate on this plane?
But of course not.
Why not?
Because it's been hijacked.
Seven,
are they going to start?
7 hours.
So hang on. It's been hijacked. So what are the baddies going to do? Go in the kitchen and start cooking a meal?
I don't know. Dude, there's food on in
and
planes.
That wasn't spoiling it that much.
No. I changed it. But I gotta say, no food on these airplanes. They give like a
glass
of water.
They don't
care. They should.
They've probably got a packed lunch.
Because you know what happens with hungry people? They get restless. And they lose control of the plane. You gotta keep them fed. You gotta keep them fed. And there's food there. They already planned for food. It's an airplane. There's little meals, little trays. Mm-hmm. There's the food.
So where were the crew? Where were the hostesses in that then?
They were there. They were getting their ass kicked.
Uh-huh. Just a normal day in the job of a flight attendant.
It's incredible, man. That, like, being a flight attendant must be the most... I don't want to say it... You never get a thank you. I doubt you get a lot of thank yous. You get a lot of complaints.
I always say thank you.
Do you?
Yes. Okay. That way they come back with more booze.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Are you a boozer in airplanes?
No, but I like it. I do like to have
it. You get drunker faster in an airplane because of the altitude.
Yeah.
But,
saves money.
Yeah.
So the drinks are free. So
yeah. Whenever I'm going to a party, I get on an airplane real quick. Save myself. But yeah, it's what's the term, flight attendant.
Right.
Correct term. It's one of those jobs that's not, it's not, you're not thanked. And you're not tipped, at least a waiter, you're tipped. You're not tipped, you're just, people complain. They blame you for the turbulence, which is weird. I don't know. It's not an ideal job. That you get shot at, apparently. Eat.
So, carry on with the next.
Yeah.
We've done two.
We're up to like four at this point. Okay. Last one. Okay, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
How do I go about that? This is one I don't want to spoil. I want to... In this day and age, how is it possible that somebody can get some guns on an airplane?
Right.
They don't ever really explain how the person that brought in the guns does it. And that was a little bit of a pet peeve for me. Like, you should at least, like, explain your genius plan to bring these guns in. Because it is extremely hard. They supposedly, like... paid off, like, the person that manages the x-ray machine in immigration.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, one checkpoint. You need to, like, you have, nowadays, you have multiple checkpoints on an airplane, on an airport, and it seems very unlikely to me that they would have guns on an airplane. I don't know. So, just my call.
No, it wouldn't be easy, but I mean, perhaps the cleaners got it in or something?
No, they show the person who brought him in.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, he's a character in the movie, in the TV show.
So he's a passenger?
He is a passenger, yes.
Well, somebody could have put in a fake suitcase or something. Oh, no, that'd be another one.
Yeah, that would be the x-ray.
Yeah, no, that's true.
It's
weird. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a plot.
And they didn't need guns, anyway.
Why?
Well, because normally they could make them eat the food. That's worse.
You don't like airplane food?
No, some of it, but not very
much of
it. They're
getting better, though.
They are getting better.
I think Copa has good food. Are they sponsors of the show?
Not yet.
Oh.
Keep it up.
Yeah. Great food at Copa. Amazing food.
So, all right. So, quickly, what is the final comments?
Final comments.
Which you're going to have to write, because I need them for the...
Yeah, I need some final comments on that. I'll send it to you. But here's the final comments on... It's a show worthy of watching. It is a quick watch. It's one of those shows you will watch in a weekend, for sure. And it's a great couple watch. I think everybody out there who is in a relationship is always looking to something to watch with their significant other.
Mm-hmm.
This is it, right here. It's both great for the ladies, for the men, for people who like romantic comedies, for people who like action. You got a little bit of everything. I think it's a worthy watch.
Okay.
I think that's my call.
And so you didn't go to the cinema?
I didn't, man. No. I really didn't want to watch The Meg 2. I made it a point of not watching The Meg
2. I can understand that.
Like, I decided my money surely is, that won't is make, well spent
that won't
elsewhere.
Make, that won't make money, will it?
I hope it doesn't, because if it does, we will get a Meg 3, which I don't know if anybody wants a Meg 3. At this point.
I mean, when I saw the episode when we went to watch Barbie the other week, when watching, they showed the sort of trailer for this, and to me it looked worse than the shark
in the first one.
Not the first one. Going back to Jaws.
Okay.
The shark was much more real in that. I mean, for the time, at any rate, but. With CGI, I was expecting something that looked pretty realistic.
That's what I tell you all the time. Bad CGI takes you out of the movie. And this is just from the... Think about this. They normally, in the trailer, they got to put the best CGI so people come in. If that's the best CGI, I have no idea what the worst. It must be horrible.
So that's not only watching it. Anything else coming out?
Oh, yeah. I'm excited for this week. You're going to hate it, though, but I'm going to love it. It's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, that thing. They showed a trailer of that, and that was stupid.
It looks amazing. We are different people.
Oh, absolutely. No wonder you enjoyed Barbie.
I did enjoy Barbie. But anyways, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, it premieres tomorrow. I know Jasmine's going to watch it front row. She's a big Michelangelo fan.
If she's got free tickets, of course she will.
It's more about that. It's more about the feeling of getting back to your roots of the T and T.
Are you going to go and watch Ninja Turtles? Be careful of your answer, because it may depend on whether I ever speak to you again.
No.
Okay, you're all right.
You guys are missing out.
Oh, come on, it looked ridiculous.
It looks funny.
I mean, and I mean, how dated is that? I mean, it's more dated than Barbie.
Actually, I don't think that's true.
No, it probably isn't. No. But I mean, but it's very old. And
it's from the 90s.
And it was
late 80s.
And it's, what is it? Like, it's a cartoon-like thing, isn't it?
It is an animated movie.
Yes, an animated movie, yes.
But I remember we are... People are nostalgic, and I literally grew up with Ninja Turtles. My favorite toys were Ninja Turtles and not G.I. Joes.
Mm-hmm.
I was a Ninja Turtle guy, and I cannot wait. Every time... And by the way, I do think they're bringing out too many of these movies and TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
I do agree with that. But I can't stay away, Jerry.
So this is your sort of reminiscing, is it?
100%.
Okay. Mine was Laurel and Hardy. But probably people
the
don't...
Fat and the fat guy.
There
and
you
the,
go,
of
you
course.
See. Yes, you see. Then why haven't they made a movie of them?
They actually made a movie off of them. Yeah.
Well, there you go, ago. Then, you see.
It's called... I think it's called Laurel and Hardy.
Laurel and Hardy. That's funny.
Laurel and Hardy. I think it is. But the movie just came out like 4 years ago about their lives.
You didn't tell me about that one.
Because it did not show up in cinemas here.
There we are. There's a surprise for you. So next week we're going to be talking about Ninja Turtles.
100%. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to create false expectations, Jared. It's going to be a dumb show.
Well, at least you're honest. Yeah. But you never know, you might be surprised. I mean, let's face it. I mean, the reason, you know, about Barbie, I enjoyed it. It was okay.
Okay.
But with all the hype that went with it, and you sort of saying, oh, well, what's his name? You watch out
Ryan
for,
Gosling.
Supporting actor Oscar or something. Well, I tell you what, if he gets an Oscar for that.
No, wait, in my defense, one of my negatives is I got a little tired of his performance.
But I didn't even find him funny.
It's a different kind of comedy, I guess.
It's British comedy that I like, you see.
So dry humor?
Absolutely.
No compliments?
No. Anyway, man, have a great week. Enjoy your Ninja Turtles.
Oh, I will, my friend.
I tell you what, I might bring you one.
You know what?
A turtle.
My wife, in our first years of marriage, got me the original Ninja Turtles in a box. And they were in a box for many, many years in my home and on display. And then the pandemic happened, and my little girl opened them.
Oh, there goes the value of that, though.
Yep. There it goes.
Anyway, man, have a great week.
All the best.
And we'll be Ninja Turtling
100%.
Next week. You are listening to The Breakfast Show. Coming up in the last hour of this morning's program, Linda Faye Schmidt. She is an author. She's been coming in talking to us about her work and her books. And it's got a new one out. So that's coming up. But as for right now, if you missed the news at 8, here it comes again.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio. Cool FM.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. FM, the best place to be in the mornings.
It's morning radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
And there you go, you're listening to The Breakfast Show, boys and girls. We're on 89.3 Cool FM, smoothest place on your radio dial. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a couple of pieces of music, and then we're going to be doing today's giveaway. All those wonderful memorabilia items from the coronation of King Charles III.
Always better late.
take another night on my own. So I take a breath and then I pick up the phone. She said, oh.
McFly and Falling in Love. This is DeFaze. After this, it's going to be time to do our giveaway for this morning, the memorabilia from King Charles III's coronation. That is the pace and no jive. Now it is time to put on your thinking caps or get your fingers going, because we're going to give away today's goodie bag. Now today's goodie bag, same as the other days, you've got the actual bag itself, which has got the emblem of King Charles the Third on the front. It's a commemoration, of course, of his coronation. Also, there's a commemorative mug inside. Is a keychain thingy. There is also a fridge magnet and a page holder for your books, you know. So, right, let's take a look. Now, remember this. Please do not answer on WhatsApp. If you answer on WhatsApp, I'll just tell you to give a call to Yasmin. The number is 223-5162. 223-5162. Okay, that's the number. Remember it. Yasmin, 223-5162. And it's a two-part question today. Now, of course, these are very, very nice. These are sought-after gifts. So we're not making it that easy for you this week. You've all been very good. You've been getting it right. Now, all the questions are about Great Britain, and today it just happens to be about, well, it's to do with the Houses of Parliament. But not just, it's not really the House of Parliament, because we all know what Big Ben is, don't we? Yes, it is the bell in the tower. Now, Big Ben is not the name of the town, we just refer to it as a, that's what we call it, don't we? Who was the bell, Big Ben? Who was it named after? Okay, the famous bell, Big Ben. Whom was it, who was it named after? Part one. Part two is, what is the name of the tower that houses Big Ben? Alright, so there we go. Two-part question. Part one. Big Ben, the bell, is named after who? Or who? And what is the name of the tower that Big Ben is housed in? Answers, please. Two parts there. Answers, please. To Yasmin. Give her a call. 223-5162. 223-5162.
I'm
big congratulations to Deborah Valdez. She wins today's prize. Congratulations to you, Deborah. Don't worry, we've got another two to give away. We've got one tomorrow and one on Friday. Friday's, by the way, a special one because we're going to be inviting the winner on Friday to join Yasmin and I. We're going to give the prize to them at Pedro Mandinga Rum Bar, and we'll have a few drinks and a few snacks, and we'll hand over the prize. That's on Friday. That's the Friday prize. Doesn't have to be, we'll arrange a day and time for the person. And tomorrow we're giving another one away as well, don't forget. All thanks. Let's say a big thank you to Paul and Maria Dixon over there in the UK, who very, very kindly donated those to us to give away. Very, very kind. That was Lizzie and Sleepwalking. This is the Jets, and You Got It All.
You got it all.
There we go. That's the Jets, as I mentioned, and you've got it all. Our guest is with us. We're going to take one quick piece of music. We're going to take an oldie. I think I saw one here. I got one somewhere from, here it is. Elvis Presley. We'll listen to True Love, and then we'll be with my guest, Linda Faye Schmidt, here on this morning's program.
Suntan, wind blown, honeymooners at last, feeling far above par. Oh, how lucky we are. While I give to you and you give to me, true love, true.
True love. 28 minutes before the hour of 10 o'clock, and I'm happy to have with me in the studio my guest this morning, and that's Linda Faye Schmidt. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry. Nice to be here.
Yeah, nice to have you. And you did come up from Coronado?
I did. We actually drove in last night.
I'm very wise.
Early start.
We could have come last night. Take that long to find parking. Anyway, it's lovely to have you with us.
Thank you.
And how's life in Coronado?
I cannot complain. I am enjoying a really great life, and it hasn't always been that way. I think all of us have our ups and downs.
Oh yeah.
As we make the journey, but overall, I feel really fortunate to be here in Panama, and being a writer, it's something I've always dreamed of doing.
Mm-hmm.
So
put
those two together, and I'm with my partner, who's just outstanding.
Oh, wonderful!
So
lovely.
Can't ask for a lot more than that.
Lovely.
Right?
Yeah, and you've got a lovely spot there in Coronado. Nice.
It is. Lovely.
I mean, I got my sea view from here, so I'm...
It's gorgeous.
You know, I'm lucky now.
Mm-hmm.
Well-accomplished author.
Getting there?
Yeah. tell us a little bit about your background. I mean, have you always been a writer, or is it something that came on later, or...?
So, technically, I've always been a writer. It depends how you define that exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If it counts that you're scribbling along in your... exercise books in elementary school,
so or writing poetry. Before internet.
Yeah, oh, way before internet. Yeah. In university, writing poetry and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But so I've got that writer spirit, I guess you could say.
Right.
But no, my first part of my life, I was a teacher. I did teach writing. Well,
mm-hmm.
I taught everything, but English was my major.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a lot of background in sort of theory, I guess you could say, around... how to teach and learn and study the English language. I've always been an avid reader, which many writers are.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a big move to the Middle East.
When I
met my second husband. He had a job opportunity there. And honestly, if it weren't for him, I don't think I would be so adventurous. I would still be plunked on Vancouver Island. But I followed my heart, and I'm really glad I did, because it was really a fascinating experience.
Yeah.
Not always easy at all the time, but it really was a broadening experience on your perspective.
Yeah, and what part of Saudi was that?
In Riyadh.
Oh, Riyadh, okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you familiar?
No, not with Riyadh, but I spent time in Dubai, well, Sharjah at the time.
Oh, okay.
When I started radio, is there a black and white picture there underneath
yeah.
The...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there. That was my association with the Middle East. And they're not calling me again, are they? I got a weird call earlier on. I couldn't work out where it was coming from. It was coming from WhatsApp. So why did you decide? Why Panama? What made you sort of, it's a bit of a leap and a strange leap. What was the,
yeah,
why Panama?
So all those changes were sort of linked in a way. So my husband has always had this interest in finding a place where the lifestyle is a little more relaxed,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
where the taxes are not as big as they are in Canada, and where the weather is a lot warmer than it is in Canada. And so it wasn't long into our union that we started exploring.
Mm-hmm.
And Panama was actually the second place we visited. We went to Costa Rica first.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really put my finger on it, despite being a writer. I just fell in love with the energy of
right.
Panama.
Mm-hmm.
We both did. And we were driving along the Bridge of the Americas, heading up to Coronado the first time, and we were like, maybe we'll retire here one day. Be careful what you say, because
here
we are.
And yeah, you obviously drank the water from the Chagres, because we say if you drink the water from the Chagres, you're coming back. Either that or you're spending a lot of time in the bathroom. when did you realize that, writing is something that I really want to get into and make a career, I guess?
So I'd always wanted to, even though I really did enjoy being a teacher very much. It was a very mm-hmm. rewarding mm-hmm. career. But I guess it didn't seem an obvious route. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's not like some of other occupations where you do this,
mm-hmm.
and therefore
mm-hmm.
it's a different route for everyone. And it was that being in Saudi Arabia where it was a bit difficult for me to get work.
Right.
I could get
yeah.
work as a teacher, but
mm-hmm.
it was difficult to have something that aligned with his schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, you know, I've had enough of coffee mornings with the ladies, and I need something of my own, and I've always wanted to do this writing. So I got started with a blog. I write a monthly blog called Musings of an Emotional Creature.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can access that on my website, and I cover all sorts of different subject matters, but all from that feeling perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you mentioned in the info you gave me, so something, you know, some of your topics of overcoming adversity, resilience, transformation, love, and of loss.
Yeah, just what? Little stuff.
Yeah, just everyday run-of-the-mill. Why did you decide to go in that direction with those emotions? Is it something which is in you?
I
would assume it's in you and your experiences.
Yeah, I would say that really defines my journey on the planet. Writer or teacher, sister, mother,
mm-hmm.
however you want to look at it, there's this underlying core heartbeat of curiosity around what makes us tick, what makes me tick,
sure.
and why are we here stumbling along through this life. And that curiosity drives me to write about it, to explore it, research,
mm-hmm.
talk with other
mm-hmm.
people,
mm-hmm.
have conversations like these.
Yeah, it's interesting because they're not easy subjects, and they say they're really sort of quite personal, whatever. But again, Andreas and I were chatting earlier on while the mics were off, but we were talking about age, and he was asking me about reflections, you know, when you get that bit older. And I said, yeah, you do. I said, you reflect. You don't just reflect on what has been, but you're reflecting on where you are, why, what's the reason for it. And I think because... and I think it's a great subject to get involved with. But you put this into a story form, obviously.
Yeah, I feel like the blog is a bit more, it's nonfiction, and
right.
it's more delving into the heart of the matter in day-to-day experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And the storytelling is something close to my heart. I really enjoy the storytelling tradition of some of the older cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And that oral tradition, but also writing it from the point of view of a character gives you a bit of distance, a little bit of detachment,
right.
and allows, in my perspective, for the reader to engage themselves into the picture
mm-hmm.
more than a nonfiction of this is what I did and you ought to do it. And nothing wrong with that. I read those as well. But, you know, I read everything. But I do enjoy that fiction element where I can broaden it into a character. And the characters really kind of drag me around. A lot of people write towards the genre, but for me, I don't. I've written in several different genres, and it just depends what my muse is whispering in my ear, and she turns into a character who has a really strong voice, and who's like, this is how it's going to go. this is what's happening next. And that's how my story unfolds.
So you don't really do it. It's all the guy, the little lady in your head chatting, you know, hey, it's about time we did another book. And I'm fed up. So write something about being fed up.
Exactly. Whatever's on my mind at the moment is what ends up coming into my character's journey through life.
Yeah, and we mentioned this when you came and you sat down. I was mentioning, for me, you know, when... I mean, I'm not a great reader, I must admit. I suffer from I guess, not being able to, a concentration issue.
Oh, okay.
You know, but what I say is the complexity of characters that, say, we mentioned J.K. Rowling earlier and to you as well, but the complexity of the characters, and you can't get your head around, well, how does it start? You know, what is the first thing that comes into your head? Say, the little voice says, okay, fine, well, you know, we're going to write about me and we're going to write about this. But then how do you put it together? How do you give a background to that person?
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, J.K. Rowling and authors like her make it look so easy. I like to compare it to Olympic athletes when you're watching them. And it looks so easy, but there's thousands and thousands of hours and sweat and blood and tears that go into that performance.
Sure, absolutely.
And it's similar to get that novel and that character just right. And I can't say I've nailed it just right yet. Early on, I'm just finished writing my fifth book. But I see that developing, and I see the importance of that. You need to know your character inside out. And not just them, but all the people close to them.
Because we're all so connected, right?
Exactly. So you have to know how the relationship with the mother or the father or the brother or the sister, how that affected them and how that created who they are or contribute to it at the very least. And so it's a complex thing. And the more, to me, you spend that time and devotion to that, the more full and real your story is going to feel for your reader and more satisfying. So I think that would be... A really important thing to remember if you are interested in writing, that you've got to be interested in research and doing all that background before, writing. And
It's in depth because, you know, if you're going to be writing, if it's happening in a particular place, I mean, you could do it in Panama because you've got that experience of Panama. But if you want to choose, say, Istanbul, you better go on holiday.
Absolutely.
You know, and get the background. I mean, like you say, it is a very long process. And what period in this process do you then decide to put pen to paper with a story? I mean, I guess you're doing an outline of your character and all the different aspects of the character. But when do you then start getting the story and start writing the story?
Yeah. For me, it's kind of a back and forth. I've heard the expression of a pantser, which is someone who just writes from the hip. And an outliner who has this full, they know exactly where they're going before they even start the story, beginning to end. And I'm in the middle. I have a rough idea. It starts with that inspiration, and then I map out a very rough map, and then I write a few chapters, and then I start to get a feel of it. And sometimes it switches in different directions than I anticipated. And even I'm surprised when she's like, no, actually, we're going this way.
Yeah. I'm not going to do that.
So, yeah. You're not putting me in that hole.
No.
With that python, forget it.
And forget it, I'm not going to sleep with that guy either, you know.
I've had enough of that. But yeah, as you say, I've heard advice from many successful authors of write what you know. Don't try to stretch yourself so much that you're writing about Istanbul if you've never been there, or about, you know, espionage when you don't have that background. So you're going to see a lot of similar settings come up in my writing. And I've traveled a lot, so I do have a lot of different settings to garner from. But, for instance, this last novel that I just published in April, The Rogue Scorpion, is set a lot in Panama and was inspired by my first visits here.
It's interesting, because I was looking at your list of books. It's your fifth one. Yet the others, to me, seem to all be related, because you've got... 2021, The Healing. Then you've got The Holding. And then you've got last year, The Holding and the Healing. What's the story there with the...
So the first two novels ended up being a series, but I didn't start out thinking I was going to write a series. I wrote The Healing. And when I was finished writing The Healing, I was doing an interview such as this, and the person was very curious about the backstory of how she got there. So that story picked up when my main character was in her 40s. And she'd left an abusive relationship, and this woman really zeroed in on that and wanted to know more. So that took me off on, well, I'm going to tell that story. And so I wrote it like a prequel, The Holding, and that was showing how my character gained her resilience through the relationship with her father. So that was more of a family drama versus the first one was a women's fiction. And when I finished writing the second novel, one of my close friends was really intrigued by that character, is a journaler. And she knows that I'm a journaler as well. And those stories were based a lot on real life experiences. And I provide that disclaimer at the front. So she said she was curious about it and didn't really know, though. She's been hesitant to start because she just, the blank page is a bit intimidating. And that gave me the idea to write a guided journal. And I used some ideas from the novels for the first two sections. And then I broadened it a bit in the next two sections to the individual and discovering their authentic life. And then how do you live that?
Okay.
And some tools that I've learned along the way, some little nuggets of wisdom. And then with this last novel, I went off in a very different direction.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Decided to write about a younger person. I think in a way I wanted a better insight into my daughters. I have three daughters, age 28 to 40, and they're all very different. And I wanted to kind of dive into that perspective as a way of understanding them better. And one of my daughters is an artist, so I decided I wanted to have that deep reflection. And I wanted it to be, though, an artistic form other than writing. And so I collaborated with a good friend of mine who lives in the UK, actually, Rhea Cornell. And she's an artist, and she did the sketches. So in this novel, I did something a little bit different. I have a chapter sketch at the beginning of each one.
That's nice.
Is actually from my character's sketchbook. And it foreshadows a bit of what's going to happen that chapter. And I'm so pleased with that whole concept and how it came about. And so there's just this constant interchanging. And then the one that I just finished writing that's still in manuscript change, because of some issues that I've had exposure to with people I know with mental health challenges, and I've had some myself, actually, I wanted to explore a bit darker side of human. I challenged myself to be more rounder because I tend to really go to the positive, self-fulfilling, love stuff. And so I've written a story about my main character is a male and has mental illness that's very extreme and a lot of challenge. And
this is becoming a big, big topic these days. I mean,
it is. You know,
in actual fact, I went to a talk last night to do with mental health, and it's if you watch the news. It's almost becoming a pandemic right now. That I don't know if it's a reflection on society or it's a result of COVID or whatever, but it seems to be the easy way out.
I think it's a complex weaving of both of those things,
Mary,
and other things as well. You know, I believe that there's a lot to do with early childhood experiences, and particularly around trauma. But then I also think there's a certain wiring as to how that will manifest in particular in the individual related to your DNA. And so it's so complex.
Absolutely.
And I think our society is in, you know, we go through cycles in social circles as well as in on our own and in cultures and in countries. And I think we're in a cycle of extreme challenge that COVID was just a part of and a reflection of that put a spotlight on. And some people are still putting their head in the sand and not wanting to be open about that.
You know, you mentioned when we started talking about, you know, when you first started and you had your page and you were doodling and whatever. And I said, yeah, before internet. But the thing is, you know, and, you know, in those days, you know, I was working in the city and of London and had a very good job. And although we had stress, and we had, I don't think it compares to the kind of stress that people are under today with this instant world, this immediate gratification in getting an email and having to respond to it. And I wouldn't have to, I wouldn't want to work like that today.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily, but what I think happened is it's all come out so quickly that we haven't had time to adapt and to create better coping skills around that medium. And we're just like thrown into it, and particularly young people. I do think the boundaries around young people using it are dangerous. I'm going to go big with the word dangerous.
No, I couldn't agree with you more.
You know.
And the day, you know, when I was at school, if you got bullied, well, you either put the guy against the wall and smacked him in the face, and that was the end of it. But today, bullying is psychological. It's, you know, having to keep up with social media and the harm that social media can do.
On young people. Tough. And I really see it in young girls and in their self-esteem and in their confidence, because it's all so image perfected, right? And all the different programs and filters they can put on there. And then it just becomes this real competitiveness with one another that, you know, I think existed already. And it's just amplified it. And it is concerning, the number of young girls I've met with eating disorders and body image disorders.
Absolutely.
Right? And I'm not saying that men are excluded from that either, but...
No, they're not. And I mean, it's I think it gets at men in other ways. I think, you know, men have egos. And, you know, they get their egos knocked around. They get things that... And also, you find you're getting things you can't respond to either. And I think that's a lot of the frustration. We're keeping an eye on the time, because the book... Where can people get a hold of the book?
Well, I'm very fortunate that after I wrote the first book, a chance meeting led me to a partner publisher. So I do have my books available in stores as well as online, all thanks to her. If it was left to me, self-publishing, it would be call me. But as it is, you can order my books online on Amazon.
Oh, great.
And that's on .com and .co.uk and .ca and Australia, all over. And you can order them at Barnes & Noble in the U.S., Chapters Indigo in Canada. And they're available at local bookstores, including...
Here.
El Hombre de la Mancha.
Oh, excellent.
Yes, I'm going to be... They've asked me to participate in their international book fair next week.
Oh, wonderful.
SOLA,
oh, excellent.
In Atlanta, so I'm super stoked about that.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, excellent. Oh, good, so we can get to find them locally. And you know, you mentioned, because I used to go to Boston a lot, and... one of my treats when I went to Boston was to go to the Prudential Center, the big shopping mall, and get lost in Barnes & Noble and have a coffee, you know, because they let you go and have a coffee and grab a book and sit down.
Oh, it's happened to my heart.
It is gone.
Oh, no.
No, exactly. That's what I said. Oh, no. It is gone. And that was one of my treats. The other one was the Microsoft store there.
That had gone as well.
That had gone as well.
There's been a lot of destruction of in-person venues.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I used to really, you know, Barnes & Noble was on my list of, you know, I must go and have a coffee, because they always had a Starbucks in there, and you go in and have a cup of coffee, and they just let you take their books and, you know, have a read through.
Yeah, now they're worried about you staining or stealing or what have you, so they don't do that as much anymore. But I did the same. That was my little reprieve in the survival years with three young children, of, like, my hour out was a coffee and sitting in Chapters Indigo with a book or a journal, and just, I don't know, the smell of paper and thoughts and creativity.
And the thing about Barnes & Noble, they had a bit of everything, didn't they? They had the books, but they also had some writing equipment. They had, you know, notebooks. They had calculators, all sorts of things. You know, you could spend hours in there.
Oh, yeah.
And we could spend hours talking.
Clearly, it would seem that way.
So we're going to have to get you back again. What's next?
So, the next thing is to have someone on a radio show, you know, some big influencer, mentioning Linda Faye Schmidt in the same sentence as J.K. Rowling. I would just go crazy for that kind of chance to make a difference on a big level. And let's not kid ourselves. No one's going to mind making a good income from what they love to do. So that would be an extra bonus as well. But just to really be able to reach lots of people, to have these kind of conversations and extend my sphere of influence and also expand my own ability to grow as a person from there.
And, I mean, it's definitely something, from what you're saying, it has to be something within you. You've got to have that kind of mentality. Same as, you know, some people play musical instruments, some people are good at things like algebra.
Yeah, right. I joke on that one
myself. Yeah, no, whoever is the idiot that thought A, B, C was a number, I want a word with them. Linda, we've come to the end, which is all very sad, really.
Yeah, Fubai. We'll have to meet for coffee.
Definitely.
With a couple of books and pretend we're in Barnes and Noble and
there we go,
carry
yes.
on.
As long as I've got pens that I can colour my book with, we'll be fine.
All right, well,
your new book's got sketches in it. I can colour those.
Yeah. Yeah, they're black and white.
Linda Fleischman, thank you so very much for being with us on the Breakfast Show. Congratulations. And I'm sure we're going to be talking again in the future because you're going to be in town for the book fair, aren't you?
I sure am.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll see you then. Right, here we go. That's it. What a busy little morning we've had. And a fun morning, too. Big thanks once again to Linda Faye Schmidt. And don't forget, you can get the books online or go to Hombre de la Mancha, wasn't it? Yeah, Hombre de la Mancha. And a big thanks also to Andreas for this week's review, Hijack, in actual fact, a series, which is on Apple TV, apparently. But with it is Alba in it, so apparently it's very, very good. So big thanks to Andreas, a big thanks to Yasmin, as always, and also to our intrepid outdoor reporter, Ingrid. And say big thanks to Yasmin, my producer, my bookings, my do-everything. And big thanks to my co-producer, Neil Danby, over there in the UK, looking after Mum. And he gets all of our background information. Boys and Girls, a group of Grodra, keep us up and running. And as always, to you, our listeners, advertisers and sponsors, thank you so very much for being with us here on The Breakfast Show, 89.3 Cool FM. Now, I will be back with you the same time tomorrow, which is 7 o'clock in the morning through till 10. So whatever it is you're going to be doing between now and then, as I always say, please do it carefully. Tomorrow I want to be talking to you, not talking about you. From me, Jerry D. Till then, ta-da! You have been listening to The Breakfast Show, a Panama Broadcasting Corporation and Cool FM production. Presented by Jerry D, produced by Yasmin Kiros, co-producer Neil Danby.